I'd like to just take you through the mission. This is the Long March 2E rocket. It's a two-stage vehicle which takes the satellite and an associated perigee kick stage into low Earth orbit. From the low Earth orbit, the perigee kick stage here moves the satellite into a transfer orbit. And from the transfer orbit, the satellite, under its own power, it gets into geosynchronous orbit. The satellite is stowed inside the nose cone or rocket fairing, and down here we can see two of the four strap-on boosters. Now, the problem we had on March the 22nd was that when the signal came to start up the four strap-on boosters, there was a short circuit that flashed across to another circuit that shuts down two of them. Now, the rocket itself weighs 460 tonnes on the pad, and normally we get 600 tonnes of thrust from the eight motors on the first stage and the strap-ons. With two of those strap-ons shut down, we had insufficient lift, and the rocket remained on the pad until 7 seconds later an automatic signal came to shut it down. That's the problem that's been rectified. Now, this shows you the flight profile of the rocket. We have liftoff here at 9 o'clock this morning, followed by shutdown and separation of the strap-on boosters. That'll happen roughly 2 minutes into the flight. Then we'll have first stage shutdown, roughly 2 minutes and 30 seconds into the flight. And the first stage will separate from the second stage. The second stage will start to burn using its main motor before the payload fairing separates at 3 minutes and 20 seconds into the flight. That's shown there on 4. That will expose the satellite and the perigee kick stage, and the second stage will continue to burn using the main motor and then some smaller vernier motors until stage 6 here, when the vernier motors stop. That's roughly 9 minutes and 30 seconds into the flight. Following that, there's a 1.5 minute procedure where the rocket reorientates the perigee kick motor and the satellite to the correct attitude, spins it up, and then releases it. Now, all that will take roughly 11 minutes. And this shows the ground track that the rocket will follow. Launch here is from Xicheng in Sichuan Province, southwest China. After launch, the rocket is tracked by tracking stations on the Chinese mainland at Guiyang, Yibin, Xiamen, and a tracking ship just off the coast to cover the last part of the flight here. Following injection, at this point, the perigee motor and the satellite head towards the equator. And as they do, around about 10 degrees north latitude, we're hoping to get a glimpse of the satellite and its perigee stage as it passes Guam and the Marshall Islands. There's two tracking stations there that we hope to get some feedback from. Now, as that flight progresses, we're getting feedback from those tracking sites, fed back to Xicheng and to Sydney, so we'll know how we're going. After the rocket's done its work, the tracking network based around Sydney takes control. Now, Sydney's a mission control centre for this flight, and we have here some 70 Optus and Hughes staff consisting of spacecraft engineers, orbit dynamic analysts, flight directors, communication specialists, and support staff, who are all going to be monitoring and controlling the satellite when we pick it up. Sydney is the mission control centre from which the mission will be conducted. The station is linked to a tracking station in Allen Park, Canada, the launch site in Xicheng, of course, and Hughes Aircraft Company in Los Angeles, who are there to provide in-depth support. And we have our Perth station on the west coast of Australia also figuring in the network. And whilst this mission is going on, we have our three first-generation satellites up there being operated. Now, this slide gives you an idea of the sequence of events. We have launch here from Xicheng. The rocket puts the satellite and perigee stage into a low-Earth orbit. The satellite and perigee stage go completely around the Earth, do one complete revolution, before the perigee motor fires here, roughly 2 hours after liftoff. That motor firing takes about 2 minutes, and then the satellite is in this elliptical transfer orbit. Alan Park is the first station to pick the satellite up, roughly 5 hours after liftoff, or 3 p.m. today. And one of the first things we do is separate the perigee stage from the satellite. It's a weight that is no longer useful. And from that point on, it takes about 10 days to turn this elliptical orbit into a circular orbit. And that circular orbit will be geostationary, and the satellite will be eventually located 152 degrees east for testing purposes. That's roughly above the equator at the same longitude as Sydney. That testing will take 6 to 8 weeks, and following which we'll be in a position to commence services. Now, just to recap on the timeline for today then, lift off at 9 o'clock, spacecraft separation from the rocket, 11 minutes past 9, perigee kick motor fire, 2 hours after 9, 11 a.m, acquisition of the satellite, roughly 5 hours after liftoff, 2 p.m, transfer orbit, taking 10 days till roughly the 24th of August. We then deploy the antennas and solar wings, which are stowed against the spacecraft, and then we commence our in-orbit test for 6 to 8 weeks. After that point, we're in a position to commence services, and we expect around about end of the year we'll be cutting over from our A-series to our B-series satellites. So that's a summary of the mission, and we should have a launch in around about 17 minutes.